So we're going back over today as our teaching. I was going to minister in this message last Sunday, and God changed it before I came up. And so we followed what the Holy Spirit wanted. And I wanted to do that also today. I mean, I didn't just have to preach this, but I was led of the Spirit to do this. And we're teaching on you must be born again. You must be born again. And it's number one, we need as a church world today is what's important is the church world as a whole. And even many, I mean, good ministers, there's people that I know, they're only preaching part of the gospel. You know, like we know as like a spirit filled, we talk about, you know, healing and things like that. But today, even from the place of salvation, the new birth isn't talked about very much. You listen to ministers talk about, they're always talking about forgiveness of sin. Just forgiveness of sin. You need your sins forgiven. That's what you need, your sins forgiven. You know, Jesus never said like that for people. He never did that. And this is one of the things is preaching the gospel. The church needs to hear, the Christians need the gospel preached to them again. They have forgotten what it is. There's a new birth, and without it, the forgiveness of sin don't get you into heaven. The new birth does. If you don't get born again, you don't get into heaven. And we need to come back to that. It's one of the things about it. Our gospel is we need to understand this. When I came into the kingdom and I was born again, there was a supernatural gospel preached. It's not today. Our gospel, if it's only forgiveness of sin, that's it. You got forgiveness of sin. There's nothing supernatural to it. The gospel, and us as Christians, we're in a supernatural kingdom. You were born in supernaturally into a supernatural kingdom. A kingdom that operates into this earth, but it operates in a supernatural way. Faith's a supernatural thing. Operating in a supernatural kingdom. We're trying to deal, and let's just put it this way. The seeker friendly, the whole thing is based on trying to make the gospel palatable to sinners. So they'll just, hey, that makes sense to me. The gospel is not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to change you supernaturally. It is given by revelation, not by head knowledge. Most people will come into the kingdom trying to explain Jesus to somebody. The Holy Spirit said what He's going to do. Jesus said He's going to convict the world of sin. That's His job. Well, that's the last thing we talk about in the gospel today is the conviction. We talk about you need forgiveness. No, first of all, people need to know what sin is. Today, people don't know what sin is. The church don't know what sin is. Christians live in sin. Spirit-filled Christians live in sin up to their necks and don't have a clue what it is. You know, the Bible teaches us and tells us in the New Testament the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and the law is the knowledge of sin. If a man doesn't need, why does man need to be saved? What is the purpose of salvation? Well, Jesus loves me like He is. Jesus wants to change me. Jesus don't want me the way that I am. When God dealt with me, the Holy Spirit dealt with me in salvation back in 1979, at the end of 79, God started dealing with me and really started talking with me. There's things that I knew concerning the gospel, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with me. And the major thing that He dealt with me was my sinful condition. And this destruction it was going to bring on my family. That's what He brought me to. He didn't come along and say, you know, Ed, I just like you are. He visited me and showed me, no, I don't like it the way that it is, and it ain't going to work out well for you. But we don't want to do that. We want something comfortable. The whole thing of it is our society is so filled with comfort. It's become almost like a disease. It's a sickness. Among people are mentally ill wanting to be comfortable. They will overlook destruction coming down the road at them at 1,000 miles an hour, trying to be comfortable. We need to get past this stuff. I mean, if the truck's coming, I want to know. Don't hide it from Ed. You know, when the Lord spoke to me back in 1990 and He said, I called you to be a flagman in the road. And I said, oh God, I said, everybody loves the flagman. You know, you're on the highway, I want to go 90 miles an hour. Don't slow me down. I said, yeah, You gave me a flag, dear Lord. Why don't you give it to Lou? Give Lou the flag. He's not giving you a flag. So, you know, you're going to go out here. Why? You know, I didn't see the importance of that like I do today. My God, do we need flagmen? You know, Randall Greer's a flagman. He's a flagman in the river. That's what he is. He's a flagman. See, I know we don't have not many people standing in the prophet's ministry today. They may be called to it, but they ain't standing in it because, and they won't operate in it because the prophet's ministry today is the flagman ministry. It's a flagman ministry. And look at Israel. When Israel's in trouble, what did God send the prophets? They would come and they'd be the flagmen. They'd come, hold it. Trying to get people to stop, trying to get people to slow down. That's what it is. Brother Hagin said this. He said in the last days, he said, God's going to exalt the prophets' ministry. It's going to come up. You're going to see it come up. And it has, because we need flagmen today. I thank God that God put me with another flagman. It's been a great help to me. Because I tell you, a lot of time you want to throw the flag down, you get tired of it because people don't like the flag. They don't like it. And it's good. And it's good. It's helped me a lot to have a flagman. And you need to know and understand whether you realize it or not, that's partially over onto you too. You need to start flagging people. We're trying to make people feel comfortable and bring them nicely to Jesus. There's nothing pretty. They're going to have to examine themselves and look at themselves. And see, one of the things that you've seen, I've teaching in this series and I've taught about it, what Jesus said, you know, Jesus told the disciples, he said, go make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, go make believers. God wants followers. Jesus spoke specifically time and time again of saying the requirements of a disciple. Most Christians, even people called good Christians, don't fulfill what Jesus said is required of a disciple. They don't even, what we call good Christians. Because people aren't as dedicated. See, I can see it from the time that I was a kid. I look back from people into the 50s and on up through. There's not a dedication toward God in the church like there was a dedication to God. And see, you lose that. You can't lose that. You can never lose that. That's one of the things, I've worked at, I mean, is to keep a dedication to God, to where He's first, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and He's the head of me. Is keeping that out in the forefront of me. We're running a race, and the Bible tells us that race that we're running, Jesus is the guy at the end of the race. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, not something else, not your family, not somebody. You can't run the race with other people being in the forefront of your race. There's only one that can be in the forefront of the race, and his name's Jesus. He told us what we required. We got to love Him more than anything else. He said, if you don't, you can't be my disciple. This is one of the problems we have because, see, we preach a gospel today. We tell people, just come accept Jesus and then, it isn't like that. We need to tell people the truth. Jesus wants disciples. I'm going to tell you this. I've told people this already. If you ain't going to follow Him, don't come. Don't follow Him. Don't come. Let me read you scriptures in the Bible. Now, I don't know if Jesus is right or not. I'm not sure. We got a question. We've talked about this before, but listen what Jesus said in the 15th chapter of the book of John. Jesus made some statements and they're very clear. Listen what Jesus said. Jesus said in the 15th chapter, verse 1, He said, I am the true vine. He said, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Now listen, He said, every branch in me. He wasn't talking about unbelievers. He said, every branch that's in me, every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Listen to this. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. See, the cleansing's through the word. The word. See, you got to follow the word. The word. Now He goes down through. Listen to what He says. Abide in me. Why? Because if you don't, you can't bear fruit and you're going to be taken away. We have this bit, oh, you just accept Jesus. Jesus said, if a guy speaking about following him as a disciple, he said the guy, and we've read this stuff, he said, hey, if you're going to build a tower, you make sure you can finish it before you start. Or you're going to end up laughed at and ridiculed. Oh boy, there's loads of people. What do we have when we sit down and we look at the parable of the sower? What happens to the people when persecution comes? Do they stay with Jesus? Do they stay with the word? They leave. We don't tell people to make a decision. They don't make a decision for Jesus. They're looking for fire insurance. They're just looking for a way. I want to get to heaven living like hell. I want my life. This is about getting saved is about your life going. Thank God. It's about Ed losing his life. Oh my words. It stank anyhow. What on earth would we be upset about that one? It wasn't any good anyway. But it's about losing life. It's about making a decision. He said, if you're going to go to war, and I'm going to tell you what, you want to accept Jesus, you're going to follow him, you're going to be in a few wars. I guarantee you, you're going to run into places that are hard and tough. You're going to run into them. They're going to be on, you're going to have to decide. See, it's in the parable of the sower told us about what happens. There's some people, there was only, Kenneth Hagin said this one time, and I had never really paid much attention. He said, you know, it was four different soils. He said, I found it in life. He said, there was only about a quarter of people, of Christians that will absolutely produce some in their Christian life. He said, only about a quarter of them do. He said, there's four quarters of them and that stuff. He said that he found it very interesting because they would monitor generally at meetings and stuff. He said, usually, he said in ministry and healing, he said to be usually about a quarter of the people who come up for healing get healed. I found that really interesting. I thought, wow. See, the word, we need to know. Just because, you know, people don't realize this. You've got to follow the words. We have this idea today, God's just going to take care of everything for you, you know. God's just going to do it, just come. You live the way you want, and it'll all work out. No, it won't. There's this thing about being a disciple, and I have watched this I've watched people over the years. I've watched disciples, and I've watched believers. The disciples are always way out ahead. The disciples are always way out ahead of the believers. See, there's a difference. There's a huge difference. Jesus said there would be a difference. Listen what he goes on, Jesus says here. He said, verse 4, he said, you abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now listen to verse 8. By this my Father's glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Disciples are the fruit bearers. The non-fruit-bearing Christians are not disciples. God can't do anything for people who just want to, you know, I want to accept Jesus because I don't want to go to hell. But I'm going to live like hell till he comes or I go or whatever. I'm just going to do that. And see, in the church world, we don't deal with these things. It's not being mean to deal with people and to tell them the truth. Jesus, do you really want to follow? It's like I've said, I've asked people already, are you going to really follow this? There's no point in getting in it. You're not going to see the success without doing the word. You've heard me say this many times. Salvation is free, but if you want to live it, it's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your life to live this thing. It's easy to get, but I'm going to tell you, it's work. Why? Because of your flesh. My flesh. It's because we deal with that. It's work. It's following the word. Do you see, like more and more today, when we follow the word, we're running contrary to the majority of society all the time. We're running, and it's hard. This is why. The seeker friendly said, well, why run contrary? Let's just join them and give them what they want. Let's go down and do this. See, they don't run contrary. Why? Because Jesus said this, they hated me, they're going to hate you. You can tell this. You will see this. Believers don't get persecuted, but disciples do. Disciples get persecuted, but believers don't. People are just I just believe in Jesus. And when the wind blows, I'm just going with the wind. I'll tell you, whatever way. We're just gonna do that. And I believe. See, disciples are good, because Jesus said, if they hated me, they're gonna hate you. See, we see that hatred coming more and more out in the open today concerning Christianity. You see it. You know, Jesus said they were gonna hate us. Well, so it shouldn't be a surprise. I hear people say, well, man, you ought to do something about that. Yeah, walk in faith. God said we already do something about that. Hallelujah. Walk in love, no matter. They're persecuting. You just keep following. You don't change because they don't like you the way you are. Hallelujah. But being a disciple, this is one of the most important things, is for Christians. Hallelujah. To walk in discipleship. Now, I want us to go back over. I want us to go to John, the third chapter, because Jesus said about being born again. And we want to see, I want to look at an incident we're all familiar with. You've read it surely from John, the third chapter. And it's the incident with Nicodemus. And we need to go back as what Jesus spoke and said to him. Because without the new birth, we need to get a hold of this. Without the new birth, nothing's going to change. You know, Christians who just come at the idea of, you know, you just get your sins forgiven. Now, I need to understand this is because when we read this, and let's just go to the first, we have the first verse says, there was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a Pharisee as a ruler of the Jews. He was in the Sanhedrin. He was a ruler. So, in the Sanhedrin. Now he says this. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with them. Now, one of the things we know this. You can know this. The Sanhedrin and their persecution in Jesus was all done as a lie. They knew he was from God. And all this stuff that they would come along and ask him to give them a sign and all this stuff was all a lie. They knew. Nicodemus just threw them under the bus. And he did it for us. I've heard ministers say, well, you know, they were ignorant, didn't know. Well, read your Bible sometime, minister. He just told us here, the leaders of Israel knew. They knew. They knew that Jesus was from God. They're in opposition to him. They don't want any. Look, they have a good religious system going that has made them rich. You know, in their day, about 90% of the people were poor. 90% of the Jewish people were poor people. These guys here were on the top of the list. They had the money. They had the contacts. They were the big boys. They didn't want competition. I find that in the ministry world today, in the church. Big, you know, we got stuff, we got money. We don't want it. We want to get, what we're doing makes out. You know, ministers, and I've heard ministers say this. We can reach people without having, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. We don't need this stuff. We can do this. You can do these things. Why? See, they don't want you come along and preaching the stuff of the move of God. They don't want it. Why? I already got a lot. I got a lot. They look out there. Well, I must be doing good. I have a lot. Well, understand this. The Muslims must be more godly than we are because they grow faster than the church is. So the Muslims must be right, because if that kind of growth is the sign that you're doing what's right, well then they must be doing what's right. You know what? You offer sin today free, you can turn around and get crowds. I'm going to tell you what. Everybody wants a religion, it's all right to do what you want. It's okay. And especially, it's very difficult. You need to understand, we as Christians, and I was reading an article of one minister. He said, I've talked to you guys about this before. They have these companies, and they come into churches. They hire them to come into their church and to tell them what they need to do to make their church grow. And this one minister said this company came in. He was going to do it because all these churches were doing it. And they asked him, and they told him, he needs that. They sit in your services and listen to him. And they told him he talked about Jesus too much. He talked about Jesus too much. Well, folks, these big name ministries are using this stuff. They're using these things down here. I mean, they don't even do their own money raising anymore. Or we're believing that some of these ministers crack me up. They talk about believing God for money. They never believe anymore for 2 seconds believing God for money. They hire companies. I tell them how to raise money, tell them what to do. They have companies that tell them, here's what you do to send this type of letter out. You do this. Most of their fundraising is done through psychology. And most Christians are moved more by psychology than they are by faith any day of the week. We sit down and, you know, I don't do much ever. Somebody send me a letter, money letters. I don't even bother living. You know, lots of times you look at them because I can listen to the Holy Ghost. See, most Christians do need a letter because they would never even give if somebody didn't compel them. Randy Greer don't have to send me a letter. I send you money. It's like you listen to the Holy Ghost. But see, those days are gone. For many, those days are gone. We don't anymore. We have all this communication today and all this online. It's always bombarded. Why? For your emotions. It has made people spiritually dead. Christians have become spiritually dead, attached to the messages coming in all the time. That's what they're running by. And they said, I want to hear from God. Well, turn that thing off for a few days. Get before God and hear Him. You know? It's like, you get to the point you have to look at your phone to find out what God's doing. You have to hear what the latest preacher said. Wouldn't it be nice if I heard in advance? You know, lots of times I go to Brother Randy's meetings, and when I go and he's talking about things, I'm thinking, that's exactly what God's been dealing with me on. And he's talking about it. Happens all the time. Used to be with me at Brother Hagin all the time. I'd be asking God about stuff. He'd be revealing things to me. I'd go to Brother Hagin's meeting and Brother Hagin would be there sitting there preaching about it. I think, dear God, right on the line. Well, it's the same God. Most people don't know what God's saying. That's why I was listening to all these prophets and these people are getting all messed up because they don't ever try to hear for themselves. They're always going to listen to what some minister said. Thank God for what minister's saying. I think God gives me messages, but you ought to get some, shouldn't you? If you have to wait for the next guy prophet to come out to tell you what God's going to do, I'm sorry. The Holy Ghost already shows me with things to come. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. Do you have a different? Maybe you have a second class Holy Ghost, maybe a third class. Are there different classes of the Holy Spirit? You know why we don't do it? It's called laziness. It is so easy to have 47 people on TV, 495 of them on your phone to tell you everything. Get out of that. Hear from God for yourself. Take the time to sit down and spend time to hear God that you know that He spoke to you. I'm going to tell you, talking about a difference. So one thing is I learned from Kenneth Hagin. You know, going into the ministry, the Brother Hagin, I remember him talking about this before the Lord put me in the ministry. He said, you don't go in to the ministry because somebody else said or prophesied or laid hands on you. He said, you better make sure God told you that you know that you heard from God. He said, you don't go on an inward witness into the ministry. He said, you go because you heard God tell you. Because he said, when you got in the ministry, he said, you're going to need it because the devil's going to throw things against you that you're going to want to leave. And I can say today, amen, know that. Some days you just want to pull the covers over your head and say, oh, let's throw it all out. Let's just go. I'll be a salesman, whatever. You know what? You have those days. But you know what? What has kept me is I have heard from heaven. I know what God told me. That is what sustains you. That I know what God has spoken to me. And you need to come to the place in your life where you know what God has spoken to you and not just a minister. You need that minister may be a verification to you. But see, this is why. See, one of the things, and this, I wasn't going to minister in this area, but the Holy Ghost is moving in this. This is one of the things is why with this thing, when this year and this election was coming up and after, I couldn't get in myself straight. People were saying, you know, and man, I want it. I tell you what, I want Donald Trump to be president. You know, if God asked me what I want, he's going to do what I want. I'd say, well, Lord, this is going to be an easy one. I'll tell you what I want. But I couldn't get clear in me. I just could not get clear in me. And people were saying things. And I'd say, that's what I want. I prayed and I prayed about it and prayed about it. But you know, in me, I wasn't clear. And I've learned this over time. And I've learned I've missed it at times in this area by not paying attention to what I wasn't clear with on the inside. Every time it's cost me. It's cost me. See, You know what we have today, and it's sad. People are so used to ministers missing it so much they don't even pay attention to it. And a minister misses it, it don't even bother them anymore. They'll just listen to the next thing he says. We need to understand, God moves in this earth by His Word. And when words ain't right and we just accept it and go by and we don't hold... Look, if anything a minister has to do is uphold his integrity, because he's standing and speaking the Word. And if God didn't say anything, I need to keep my blab mouth shut. Because whether you would or not, it's called lying. Say, well, I didn't intentionally do it. Tough. Listen on the inside, and I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it. I wanted, man, I prayed. But inside of me, it just wasn't there. I mean, it's what I wanted. It wasn't there. And then I noticed this. I noticed Randy Greer never said anything. And I thought, Randy's not saying, he has, and I just let the Lord with it. I thought, I ain't asking getting over there. I gotta follow what's in me. I can't let what somebody else says. I got to follow what's in me. What's God doing in me? When I talked to God, now before things and elections, God spoke to me about stuff and there's things here. I'll tell you what, this election, I have not had so much of a silence in my life. I've never had it. And it wasn't until after the election when I went and talked to the Lord and said the Lord about it. The Lord said to me, he said, all I want you to do is just trust me. And I said to him, I said, Lord, I said, I can do that. He said, well, how are things going to turn out? I ain't got a clue. You're going to have to figure that one out. I'll pray for leaders. I pray concerning this. You know, God didn't tell me what he's going to do yet. That doesn't mean somebody else don't know. Somebody else can know. But there's one thing that I know this. I don't care what anybody else says about it. If it don't bear witness with my spirit, I ain't going with it. I don't care if it's true. If my spirit, it don't bear witness with me, I can't operate on it by faith. See, too many people listen to guys saying stuff and they went around and said it. Yeah, well, they're saying this and say, well, in your spirit, did it actually bear witness with you? In your spirit. I'm not talking about it met the criteria of your mind the way you like to think. I'm talking about in your spirit. See, in my spirit, I knew God spoke to me and I could stand in the ministry. I knew in my heart God called me. I knew in my heart what he wanted to be. I knew. See, I could go stand on that. But see, I couldn't stand on it. I knew concerning this election. I couldn't walk out and make a confession about a thing because it wasn't in my heart. Making right confessions that aren't in your heart, you know that it will do nothing. Jesus said, if what you believe in your heart, you say with your mouth, and don't doubt it'll come to pass. See, if it ain't in your heart, you can say it. Now, we learned this. You can say words to get them into your heart. But let me say this. If you're saying words God didn't say, you can get them into your heart and you'll confess and believe wrong things. See, there's certain things concerning the election I will not say unless I hear from God on it. I need to hear from God on it. I'm not going to tell you that he said something he didn't. I'm not going to tell you. It has to be in my heart. And it isn't. There's been a check in me on this thing. And I'll tell you, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. When the Lord told him about being led by the Spirit, he said, being led, he said, on the inside of you, he said, if you have a check inside or something don't seem right, don't do it. And that's, you know what? When I got a hold of that, I thought, man, how many times did I bypass that one? I had a check in my spirit. I walked past it. I said, no wonder I paid some prices on things. I bypassed that. And I learned as a young Christian, don't bypass that. Something in your heart just doesn't seem right. See, I watch people go on and do things. No, it's got to get settled in your own spirit. It don't matter. You know, even if something's right, don't settle in your own spirit. You can't produce it. You got to get it in your own spirit. And you got to get it in there that it's right to do. You got to know. And so, you know, we need to understand this. I don't know what all God's going to do, and I'm not going to say. Maybe somebody knows, praise God. You know, if you say it, praise God. But if it doesn't bear witness my spirit, I can't go along with it. I've watched a lot of things along these areas that happened. Back in the 1980s, you know, there was a move of God going on, and a lot of this Christian rock and roll started in. A lot of Christian rock and roll. And you know, God wasn't in a lot of it. A lot of it was man's ideas. I heard later on in years, I think it was in the 90s, that Brother Hagin made the statement. He said, you're not going to go anywhere as a Christian on a diet of Christian rock and roll. It's not, you know, we need to understand God is trying to reach the world. God wants to convict them of sin. He wants to bring conviction upon them of their need for a Savior. Why they need a Savior. They need to understand. See, we use terms like we talk about people today being saved. Do you know most of the world don't have a clue? You use that thing on, they don't even know what you're talking about. See, because the church left these things for the need of salvation. What you need is forgiveness of sin. We have left the terminology of the Bible. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He said, always use the terms that the Bible said. That way when people read the Bible, they'll know what you were talking about. And see, we don't use the term. We use terms. And we got today, and people talk about a person being saved, you know, and I see, like, we threw our areas and that stuff. You'll see a lot of the Mennonites and stuff, they'll put out, you know, signs about being saved. They put those little signs out. And they're nice, but you know, most of the world ain't got a clue. When they think being saved, what? You know, they don't know Jesus had a certain bank he went to. They don't know. They have no clue what that means. They don't know what it means to be saved. Saved what? You talk today about saved from sin. You don't need saved from sin. Well, what's sin? Well, sin is whatever you think it is. It might be wrong to you. There's ministers, spirit-filled ministers who talk and say that, you know, one sins might be one person, but not to another. You know? They're saying these things. This stuff is being preached. So see, sin, there's no categories of it. There's nothing. There's, you know. The law was pretty specific about what sin was. And it's a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. But see, when the church's language changed, and the church's language, we went from Bible language to try to go to the language of the world to, we're going to reach people. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to reach it. So they found this out. Ah, the forgiveness. God will forgive you. Hey, that is wonder God will forgive you. But understand this. We've talked about these things. God's forgiven everybody. If we go from a technical standpoint, Jesus took the sin of the whole world. You know, and I often say this, and it's heartbreaking. How many people in hell, and they're there, and they find out they didn't go to hell because their sins weren't taken care of. They didn't receive the one who forgave them. That's what we're supposed to be preaching, but that's not what's being preached. You've got to be born again. The confession. Paul said we confess Jesus as Lord. In other words, we're going to let somebody else dominate our life. Years ago, we had a woman that came to our church back many years ago. She was, it was back when we were on Birch, way back in Birch Road there. And anyhow, she came to me one time and she said, and I'm sure I startled her, when I was younger back in those days, you think I'm direct today, sometimes I was very direct. But she came and she said, you know, she said, I was saved, but I never followed Jesus, she said, till I made him my Lord. I said, well, you weren't saved. That was your problem. I said, the Bible don't tell you you get saved. It tells you to make Jesus Lord. That's the confession, is making him Lord. And as Billy Graham even said the same, Billy Graham was a Christian for years and went nowhere until he said, I made Jesus Lord. You see, those things aren't talked about today. When we talk about these things, we need to bring back the language of the Bible again. We need to bring it back to the church. The Christians today, many Christians, they think, well, we just get people, ask Jesus into your heart. Bible don't even say that. The Bible don't say those things, ask Jesus into your heart. You confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You believe God raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. You'll be born again. You'll turn it. That's what it says. No, we said ask him into your heart. Loads of people done it. I had a minister that I've known for a number of years. He came to me and he said this, he had this some years back. He said, you know, we went and did this thing and outreached our town and we went out. He said, we had 100 people make decisions for Jesus Christ. I said, you had 100 people? I said, that's really, I mean, out on the street ministry? I mean, I did street ministry for years. I did street ministry. You have 100 people in street ministry? I'm going to tell you what, man, you must have been John G. Lake. But this is what I asked him then. I said, well, how many have gotten to your church? He said, well, none. And I said, you didn't reach none. I said, you didn't reach anybody that wanted to follow God. I will tell you this. I know this. They never told them. You know, they just get them to, hey, just say this prayer. Just say this prayer. You will be, and phew, they never tell the person. There's requirements. Do they ever say, why are we afraid? We think we have to get somebody saved in an instant. I'm going to tell you what. God dealt with me for months and months on end because I was going through the decision things of whether or not I was going through the things, would I really follow this? Would I really do it? As I've told you guys, the encounters I had with the Lord as an unsaved person, when he told me, this is clear, he spoke to me, and he said this, before I got saved, the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, there's no such things as a closet Christian. He was telling me, I can't accept him and go hide this thing to people. See, I must have had a different Holy Ghost than the Holy Ghost of the church today. We must have changed. I mean, there must be a one or two or an A or B or something. Because there's no requirements from the standpoint to the individual of what is required of them. You can get salvation free, but folks, to walk and live this thing, it's going to cost you your life. And we need to tell people. It's going to require of you. You're not going to step into this thing, see, I got born again, and the blessings of God fall on you. You might have the devil fall on you. You better learn how to stand in the Word. You better learn how to walk in this thing. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will come immediately and steal the Word that was planted in your heart. He'll come knocking your door. He'll come and rip that little bit of a rootless thing you got out, no sweat. The devil will do that. Haven't you noticed? Has he tried to pull things out of you? Has he tried to get you? Well, sure he does. He comes up. He's always trying to move us away from the Word. It caused something. Why would we think in life that Christianity would be different than God's creation? We turn around. Do we say, take a doctor. Okay, a guy says, look, I want to be a doctor. So what I want to do is I'm going to go to a school. And I went two classes. So just because I went to two classes, want to be the doctor. And I did pay my tuition. So I will get the degree. That's Christianity today. Nothing else works like that. But somehow, we act the idea out here, the church world got the idea that Christianity is this thing you don't have to work at. That somehow, that you don't work at. It's nothing in life works like that. Anything you want to come perfected at, you got to work at it. You know, I have a mechanic works my car. If he only ever worked in one or two cars a year, I would probably not be so quick to go take my car to him. Why? But see, he has years of experience on vehicles, and this guy has proved himself over time, and he still does. He learns new stuff, and he does it. What did he do? You know, you can. I know you take Mike in on the years that he was with Volkswagen. I mean, we went from cars being mechanical to mostly everything, even the mechanical stuff's run electronically now. Everything's done. Well, you don't want the guy. I hear these guys say, I don't like that computer stuff. Well, get over it. The cars are full of them. You better get liking it if you want to work on them. I don't care what you like. You know? People say, I don't like to learn this new stuff. Get over it. You better learn how to do the new stuff because you're going to be left behind in the dust. Everybody else is going to go out ahead of you. That's just life. Well, Christianity is the same way. It's a constance in learning. I mean, constantly we're learning. The Bible teaches of the doing of the Word and the doer is blessed. Listen to the words here, just in this. I want you to, you can learn something the way Jesus talks to people. Jesus don't talk lots of times like people talk to each other. Jesus, now understand, Jesus said this, I don't say anything the Father don't say. And he said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. And this Nicodemus guy comes along. And he told Jesus, he said, man, I know you're the guy, these signs and wonders, God's with you. Now, wouldn't that sound like a nice pat on the back to you? That was, oh yeah, see, he's coming to Jesus and sort of buttering him up, you know, hey, we know you got these signs, hey, you're with God, we know that, man. You're the God man. Here's Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, he made that statement, and this is Jesus, completely different than what he's even talking. You see, we think God talks. I've learned this over the years. You have to listen to God, because what I think I'm saying to God that I need or I desire or want to know, sometimes that ain't what I really need to know. He knows what I really need to know and understand, and he'll talk to me about that rather than what I'm saying to him. You have to learn that about him. I found out about Jesus is not much of a small talker. Yeah, I'm serious. You know what? The Jesus of the church today ain't nothing but a small talker. That's all he is. But he ain't the Jesus that I know. Jesus is down. Look what Jesus says to the guy. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine this guy comes in? We know you're sent from God. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you the truth. Now that word there actually would be, you would read it in the Greek. In fact, I've been reading this in the Greek. I like reading it from the Greek because the Greek is, I think, is more clear because it removes a lot of how men have said it. Just makes it real. But he said, truly, truly. He said, he didn't say, assuredly, I'm telling you. He said, truly, truly. Now under their language, that he say, look, this is truth, truth. I'm saying the truth, truth. I'm telling you, this is the truth. If we would put in our language, we would have like with a court of law, they used to do that. Put your hand on a Bible and say, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what would be in the Eastern language. It would be said in that manner. So Jesus say, look, I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. What you need, guy, is born again. Here's what he's telling the man. You need to be born again. This is what you need. See, this guy's telling Jesus, hey, I know you're from God. Well, God's saying you need to be born again. That's what Jesus speaks right to him. This is the truth. This is what you really need. Or you need to be, some translations say born from above. He said, or what's of this? You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That word see there is the idea of having to know or to have knowledge of. You can't know it. What did we find out in teaching about being a disciple? When Jesus told the parable of the sower, it says, the ones that were with him and his disciples came to him and said to him, what did you mean by that dear parable you gave? What was it? He said, it is for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Why? They're disciples. He says, but them, the rest of the group, he said, they're on the outside. And he said, I only talk to them in parables. You know, they could have been on the inside if they wanted to. You will find this. Nobody during Jesus' ministry, they didn't come to him and ask him a question. He didn't explain and tell them. He always did. See, those people heard him talk. They didn't know what he's saying. And they're saying, you know, I don't know where this guy's coming from. I just, you know, I want to heal and go home. See, I believe the guy's from God, but I just, you know, I want to get healed and go home. These guys said, no, I want to know what he's teaching. See, for the disciple to know. If you don't get born again, revelation ain't coming to you. The world don't need revelation from God other than a revelation that God reveals for their salvation. When they get that, then God reveals himself to them. He shows them. He teaches them. But if they're not going to accept Jesus, they stay in the dark. The seeker-friendly church is a failure spiritually because it's trying to teach sinners. We don't teach sinners. You have a teacher that lives in you. You have the Holy Ghost in you, the revealer of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, it's going to take mine and show it to you. Does the world have that? Well, then how are they going to get revelation? They don't have the teacher in them. See, God's gonna give you revelation. You come to hear. You wanna know. God will give you revelation. He will reveal himself. That's the norm. Don't ever talk different about that. I just don't understand. I don't get it. I hear people say that. Say, stop it. You got the teacher in you. I'll tell you what, I refuse to say. My Holy Ghost that lives in me ain't some lazy idiot and don't do what Jesus said. Jesus said he would take what belongs to him and reveal it to me. The Holy Ghost will always give me revelation. That's his job and he ain't a slouch. And that's what he's doing in you. He's revealing to you and he's showing it. You're a disciple. You want to learn. You want to understand. You're his target. You're the one he wants to reveal something to. That's what he's looking forward today. The Holy Ghost, God is looking so deeply to reveal himself to people, to show himself. I am just totally amazed over about the last 5 years, the revelation that's come out of the Word to me. I am just shocked. To me, getting revelation from God, it's like the Holy Ghost can't stop showing stuff. I'd get over, I'd be doing something in the natural, and the Holy Ghost will all of a sudden give me a revelation about something. I think I stop thinking, dear Lord, you used to have to spend 3 days in prayer to get that kind of stuff. Now it just seems like it comes and falls on you. It's like, what on earth? He's talking. Why? He wants to reveal Jesus. And he can't reveal that to the sinner. He reveals to the sinner. The Holy Ghost comes to the sinner and reveals to him his need of Jesus. And if he responds in faith and is born again, the Holy Ghost moves in the teacher. Hallelujah. Now the revelation of God. That's the way it works. Today the church, I don't know if ministers are just ignorant and don't know. And people don't know. We're trying to use mental ways of explaining to people. It isn't mental. As I said in the beginning, we're dealing with the supernatural. We're dealing with the supernatural. We're supposed to speak the words of God. Jesus didn't come and give some big explanation. Listen to what Jesus did with Nicodemus. He told him, hey buddy, you need to be born again. This is what it is. You can't know the kingdom of heaven without it. Nicodemus said, hey, how can a man be born again when he's old and he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. People start and they worry all about this stuff and they sit and keep trying to figure this out. Keep reading and you'll understand what Jesus is talking about here. Listen, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. What's wrong with you? You're marveling about that. Quit marveling about it and believe it. You need to understand, as God is asking someone who said, acting like a believer, you're supposed to believe. If he said you need to be born again, then first of all, my thing is, well, he's right on the subject. Not as, oh, I just don't get what he's saying. Now listen what Jesus said, and you'll get a good understanding here. Jesus said the wind blows where it wishes. Now, it's interesting, that word wind there, that's the word pneuma. Spirit. Now, it could be translated, but that's the word translated spirit. In fact, the last word of that conversation was the word pneuma, and they translated spirit. That's why, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study the Bible, instead of just sit around and just, well, I did my daily reading. It's good to daily just read the Bible, but I'm going to tell you, it's better to study it. It gets good to study. He said, the wind blows, or the Spirit blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound. He says, the sound of it. Now, it's interesting, that Greek word that's used there, sound. That is the Greek word phoné. We get the word phone from that. Phoné. Actually, it can be interpreted voice. You hear the voice of the Spirit. He said, you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. He says, so is everyone born of the Spirit. What's he talking about? See, he's talking to him about a spiritual life. He's looking at natural life. Jesus said, what's flesh is flesh, what's spirit, spirit. Jesus talking about, because Jesus went on and told him, he said, you're a teacher of Israel. You don't get this stuff. You don't understand it. You know, we sit down today, and even in the Spirit-filled church, there's loads of people still don't get it about the Spirit-filled life. They still don't get it. You see, if we want to interpret it and say, whether we say spirit or wind, is number one, when the wind blows, the wind can't be seen. The wind's not seen. We see what the wind does. In other words, we see the fruit of the movement of wind. We see what it produces or what it does. That's what we see. Remember the day of Pentecost? The Spirit showed up and they heard the sound of a rushing mind. In other words, wind can make sound. It can do things. But see, we can't see it, but we can see what it produces. That is the spirit life. The spirit life is things that produced in an unseen realm that manifest in the seen realm. That's what we do. That's what the faith life is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that not seen brings into the seen realm the things we would desire. You can't see that realm. I can't look at you unless God would open my eyes in the spirit realm. I can't see your born-again spirit, but your born-again spirit can manifest things into the spirit realm. He says, just like the wind, you can't see it. You can't see it, but it manifests itself. You can see its manifestation. You can see what the wind does. And a person born of the Spirit. See, this is why I don't believe in people getting born again and being fruitless. I don't believe in that kind of Christianity. I have no concept of what it could be. See, Christianity is about bearing fruit. Can you get born again and have no desire for Jesus? You can't start out like that. See, many people, why? Because when that spirit, Jesus talking about it, the new birth. He's saying to him, why? You get changed. You're going to see it. You're going to see fruit of it. You're going to see what this wind does. It blows. You're going to see what this spirit. You're born again. You got born again. Now, when I got born again, you guys have heard my testimony. My life changed. My life changed. I know some of you have talked about your life changed. Why? What happened to you spiritually, men couldn't see, but they could see the fruit of it. They could see the fruit of your new birth. They could see the changed person. Couldn't they? See, the church world today wants to operate more over the natural. They want to see things. Everybody's about seeing things. See, they don't understand the power is not in seeing. Faith is not in the power of seeing. But yet, that unseeing believing produces things into the seen realm. This is why people have a hard time in the years of healing. They have a terrible time in that because it's all about the seeing and feeling. It's not about what the spirit man can produce the seeing and the feeling. But it's produced out of the unseeing area. It's not produced out of the seeing area. See, the wind is blowing and doing things. You'll see what the wind will push up and do. It's just like a ship. You get a wind blowing out there. It's a sail ship. And, you know, the wind hits the sail and blows it up and that stuff. You don't see the wind, but you see what the wind does. See, if you learn to operate over in the spirit, this is what he's talking about. A spiritual change. Nicodemus didn't know he needed a spiritual change. Do you notice that Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus, you know what you need? Forget. You need your sins forgiven. Do you know what Nicodemus would have said to him? My sins are forgiven. Every year we offer the thing, and for a year my sins are taken care of. My sins are forgiven. We have forgiveness of sin. He didn't say that. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be changed. God don't like the way you are. He sent me to change all this. Glory to God. He sent me to make you something you could have never been. He has sent me to do this. Nicodemus, he's coming after something natural. He's coming. God wants a different people. And that's what the new birth's about. The new birth is not, see, when we think about that forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of sin in the new covenant is totally different than the old covenant. We have the sin nature removed. They didn't. We have the old sin natures removed and we are given a new heart or a new spirit. We no longer have the sin nature. You're sitting here today, born again, you don't have the sin nature. The church preaches and preaches forgiveness of sin, and what it does nothing but put sin consciousness in the believer, where the believer, it's just like they'll always say, well, you're just going to sin. See, that new birth didn't do enough. Sin's still going to rule over you. Jesus Christ lied. No, it's not. We have had a supernatural change. We will not be dominant. This is what I'm saying. What you truly believe in your heart is going to set the destiny of your life. You're going to become what you really believe. I don't care what you walk around talking and saying, but what's really in your heart and you're saying and doing is going to set the destiny of your life. And this is why we need to understand this, the power of faith. God has done something so supernatural. If you believe the right thing in your heart and you say it with your mouth, you're going to have it. Jesus said so, or he's a liar. I'm going to tell you what, if you'll say the right thing, sin will not rule over me. Don't you ever let me hear you say this. Well, you're just going to sin. I'll probably run you out of town. We don't need that rod anymore. It's killing people. It's putting the church in a hole. And the world's throwing the dirt on us, and they should. We need to begin to say what the Bible says. We're seated in heavenly places, Christ Jesus. We're not dominated by sin. Hallelujah. We've been given victory over it in the name of Jesus. We can walk. We have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can approach God. If I miss it, I can confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive it. But you know what? Sin should be the uncommon, not the common. It's common in the church, and it's only common in the church because it's been preached that it should be common. Sin should be common in the church. You're just an old word. You got saved, but you're still not good enough. I'm going to tell you, the devil has preached from so many pulpits. He's been in so many mouths. I'm going to tell you, you're children of God. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are a victorious church. We're a supernatural church with victory over sin and death. Hallelujah. When we walk the Bible, that's why he said, you can cast out devils in my name. You can lay hands on the sick. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. I don't care about the virus and what they say. I've done read the word, and I'm in the church of Jesus. Jesus Christ. I'm not some backslidden buzzard out here trying to get by. I was made as righteous by God, and he's the one that decided to do it. You can call me an idiot. You can call me anything you want, but I'm what he said I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to preach the supernatural church again. We don't have a supernatural Christianity. We've lost that, and we need to bring it back. The world needs it. They know that naturally it ain't changing. That's why they're so mad. And the church offers them, I'll give you forgiveness of sin. Dear God, they need God, and God will move in. God will come live in you. Hallelujah. You'll become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You'll be as righteous as your dad. Woo! Glory. Oh, they'll think we're radicals. That's what we're supposed to be. Paul didn't get stoned preaching the dumb message for today. He got stoned because they thought he was a god. Anybody come talking and doing what this man does. Would they think any of them are gods today? I hardly believe they're people. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I know I preach me happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I learned that from Keith Moore. Moore told us, you know, when you're teaching and God teaches, he says you need to learn to how to end it in preaching, how to yield to the preaching. See, I've learned that over the years. I like that preaching anointing. You kneel to that, I'm going to tell you what, preaching has got the anointing gets on you. And it does things. But hallelujah. Praise God. We're children of God here today. Hallelujah. You have a glorious gospel that's been given to us. We have a glorious Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and he changes people's lives. Why would anyone just want, God, I don't want to stay the same. Hallelujah. I want to go from what the Bible says, from glory to glory. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Thank God for the glory we walk in. But I want to tell you what, it ain't enough. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin said this to us. He said, getting the anointing on your life, he said, is like drugs. He said, once you've had it, you just want it again. And I tell you, you get the anointing in your life, you just want some more of it. Hallelujah. And I know when I came in the kingdom, and I tell you what, when I came in the kingdom, the anointing of God, and we'd go to meetings, and I'll tell you, the truth was being preached, and the anointing would be, and it would get on the people. It wasn't just on the minister, it'd be on the people. Amen. Hallelujah. And you'd want to go get some more. See, I need my fix again. Hallelujah. I need my fix again. Where you people, see, people today, the secret friend, they can offer you a fix. They offer a 12-minute sermon and you got to get out the door. And if you want a fix, you got to buy it on the street corner outside the church. Because you ain't getting no feeling good in the church. They'll just tell you, you're all right on your way to hell. Go ahead out there. Now they don't tell you you're going to hell, but you will be. God offers the real thing. He's offering today his hand on man's life. Could there be anything better? What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. What a God. See, even if you missed it, you blew it. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy, to find grace, to help in time of need. You need God's grace. Hallelujah. You need His ability. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't miss it, but God, I just need more of your ability. I ain't got enough. See, I go to God. I don't have enough yet. I don't have enough of His ability. Do you? I don't have enough yet. I need more of His ability on me. Hallelujah. I need more grace on my life. Hallelujah. Because I tell you this, I've learned, I can't do what God wants without Him. If He don't anoint me to do it, it's just me. And I'll tell you what, I'm tired of the me church. I'm tired of me Christianity. I want the Jesus Christ crucified, raised from the dead, exalted on high. I want that Christianity. I want the one, hallelujah, that fulfills the scripture. And common man walks in the glory of God. That was the book of Acts. Hallelujah. God on common man. Hallelujah. The supernatural manifestation of God in the lives of everyday people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I am so thankful that I can approach you. Lord, you have been so merciful and kind to the church. Father, I know from things that you've spoken, and this year, you said you've been trying to wake things in the church world. And I want to thank you, Lord, because you know there are ones that are hearing, and there are ones or you have people. And Lord God, there's so many who seem to be walking just in their same old paths. But Lord God, I call out for mercy. Lord, I know there's a great, if we would say, Lord God, you wouldn't be wrong by bringing judgment. But Lord God, we cry for mercy. We cry for mercy, Lord God, for hearts to turn. You've been really patient. And Lord God, you've been very patient with us. You here in this place. Lord God, there's things that I know of myself I should have responded to a lot quicker than I did. But you had mercy. You had mercy and you gave time. You gave time. And Lord God, I just want to say today, Lord God, that I'm thankful for these people, Lord God, because they allow me to preach things you want to say. And Lord, I am so appreciative, Lord God, because Lord, I see them as a people. These are the carriers of these things. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, they desire and they hunger for truth and they want to live and walk in truth. And I'm so, so appreciative. Hallelujah. Lord God, they have stayed with it. They have walked in it. Lord God. And I know, Lord God, at times they've walked through difficult times in lives. They have faced things. But Lord God, they haven't moved from the truth. They haven't moved from the truth, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, it is wonderful to be among people. Hallelujah. Because Lord God, it inspires me, Lord God, to continue in truth. It inspires me to continue to walk and not turn. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you for the support that we get from one another. Hallelujah. I thank you for the building up and the work of the Holy Spirit in this place. And Holy Spirit, oh, I appreciate you so much. Because I wouldn't know my Savior if it wouldn't be for you. I wouldn't know who and what He really is. But you have been so faithful to reveal Him and to show Him and to take His words. Yes. And I just thank you. Oh, thank you so much for being such a wonderful teacher. Thank you. Thank you for revealing the things of Jesus to us. So Lord God, we stand here today. Father God, we're not going to be moved. We're not going to be moved. We're not going to change. We're going to keep walking ahead. Lord, it seems to be nationally that we're in a definitely an uphill walk, a very big, serious. Lord God, I would say maybe it is much more like mountain climbing than it is walking. And we're in this place. But Lord God, I want to thank you. In our determination, we're not going to turn back. We're continuing ahead. Lord, we're going to be a blessing to this nation. We are going to be a blessing to this nation. Lord God, I know we see so much going on, it seems like my word is just all going to fall apart. But Lord, no matter what takes place, we're going to be a blessing to this nation. We're going to continue to carry the truth to this nation. We're going to continue to love the unlovely. We're going to continue to walk in this thing, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're going to be a help. Lord, you have great plans and great things that you desire to carry out. Lord, there's things that you've shown me in the past. And Lord, those days of fulfillment haven't come yet. And Lord God, I can see them. I can see that those days are upon us. And Lord, I want to thank you. Those things will come to pass. Hallelujah. Lord, sometimes it seems that things have held off, just like Joshua and Caleb. But Lord God, they stood and you took them in. And just the same way, you will take us in these days. You will take us to stand in those places of glory that you said the church would be in these days and times. And we will fulfill it. We will stand in it and the glory will be revealed. The glory will be shown forth through your people. The glorious church is arising. Hallelujah. And its fullness will be shown before the Master returns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bagodishne ne befefe bropamana keto bandolina nakate keshite poremana baragida goda barashina foniano kele yatata bron fefefre imblaraguri keshnena budonte kadigishishi tegeyata. For I say to you, don't be afraid and do not worry. For fear not, for in these days and time, I have heard the cries of my people, and I know and know how to respond to my people. Put your trust in me and look to me, for these are the days of the miraculous. For I spoke in times past through the prophet and said that you have entered the days of the miraculous, and I have not lied according to my word. For I will bring the miracles together, and they shall work, and you will see them in with your eyes in this time and in this days. As just as the children of Israel seem that it got worse and worse upon them, but the great hand of God, the great hand that shall deliver you, is the same one that delivered them. For I know what it takes to bring you forth, and I will bring you forth in this hour, and the world will stop and say, there is a God in the church, and he has revealed himself. Look and see, for he is God. And they will know in these days and time, for I have set it forth, says the Lord, and not man. For I have determined, and I will carry it out by my will and purpose. Yes, trust in me, and I will fulfill the desires of your heart, and you will see my plan come to pass. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lou and Karen, would you come forward, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've been going through some things or not or what might be going on, but hallelujah. The Lord is showing me, just don't be concerned about it. There's stuff that's happening and it's going on, but God has a plan. Hallelujah. And he's been working in you. And especially in these days and time, it's important the position that you stand in. The devil is trying to move things around. See, he wants to stop Randall Greer ministry. He'd love to stop it, but he can't. He can't stop it. And he's not going to stop you guys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is going to do mighty and wonderful things. And the place that you stand, God is going to give you wisdom. You're walking in a ministry that needs wisdom in these last days to fulfill the plan. Hallelujah. You know, let me say this concerning the ministry that you stand in Randy's place. The Lord spoke to me in times past concerning the ministry. He said to me that Randy is much like where Brother Hagin was much like Moses and stood in the forefront of leading the people into the land. But he didn't lead them into the land. There was one raised up behind him to lead into the land. And the Lord said to me, he is much like Joshua, But his ministry is now to take that revelation of Moses and take the people in. And he has been set in a fort and maybe not recognized by man, but he's recognized by God in this nation and nations of the earth of his position and place where he stands. And so it's important, the position that you folks are in. This is not just some, well, you're just helping this thing. Much, much more than that. Much, much more than that. Hallelujah. It's upholding the hand of this prophet. It's upholding his hands in this time and in this place. Hallelujah. Because he can't do it by himself. And you're standing in a place, and I tell you, the anointing of God will be in great increase in these last days upon you to help carry that ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I want to thank you for great anointing on their lives, Lord God, to fulfill your plans and purposes. I thank you that there's much coming ahead, Lord God. And we stand against the devil. Devil, you will not make any gateway into this area. You're not going to thwart their plans and their purposes that God's put on their heart. So I command you to cease and desist in your operations in the name of Jesus. You will not thwart them. You step back in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. I thank you that glory will be upon them in great measure. Hallelujah. Then wisdom and understanding to walk together hand in hand with Brother Randy, Lord God. Lord, I thank that, Lord God, we know that they've been a great encouragement and a great help, but Lord, it'll go far beyond in these last days and place of standing because of the supernatural in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom will be on you. Hallelujah. In a much greater measure than you have known before. Hallelujah. And what to do and how to help. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because it's one of the things, as I've learned, which you're a part of, and just like me, is a part of that ministry. The further that goes, the further I go. Hallelujah. So you see, I want you to succeed. Because the further it goes, the further I go. Hallelujah. See, it's tied together, and we need to know. And see, it was tied together. Brother Hagin walked to a certain point and carried us with him to a certain point. Hallelujah. Now, we move from there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so don't ever take your position as anything very lightly. It's a very, very powerful thing. Hallelujah. In the fact that God called you to stand alongside of him. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you, brother. I tell you, appreciate you guys. Appreciate what you're doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, yeah, I don't know, does anybody need prayer for anything? Or something somebody wants prayer for anything at all? We just open it up. Is everybody okay? I mean, this is an opportunity. I don't have anybody specific or anything in my heart concerning that. But you just give people an opportunity. Hallelujah. We can always agree. It's one thing, if two agree is but touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them by my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. So I learned over the years, you don't need a special anointing. You just need some faith. You can do exactly the same thing that some special anointing would do. Thank God for special anointings. But, hallelujah, the prayer of agreement in saints, there ain't nothing more powerful than that. The corporate anointing, as I learned from Brother Hagin, and I've seen it in ministry, the corporate anointing is the greatest anointing there is. Hallelujah. You get people, just like the anointing will flow, people get together pulling. I'll tell you what, there's nothing that'll be withheld from us. Amen? Praise God. Father, as we leave and depart here today, we just want to say thank you. Thank you again for your mercy and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Father God. Lord, as we go out of here, we walk out of here as a blessed people today. Hallelujah. Lord God, with your anointing on our lives. And Father God, I pray that you open doors of opportunity to us. Lord God, give us wisdom and understanding. Lord God, the people that we would meet, Lord God. Lord, that we would take this supernatural gospel that we got, that we would speak it, hallelujah, in power in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, to transform lives. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, you're going to accomplish much, much through us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a glorious, glorious week.